evening. This is Rita Hubbard Robinson, and this is Millennium Health Matters Radio Show. I'm your host, and we are really excited. We've got some friends here with us today, and today is National Kindness Day. Oh. I'm just so glad to be in a world where we celebrate kindness. I try to consider myself a kind person, and my guests today I would consider as kind people. And I want to think that you're kind, too. So I hope if you haven't had a chance to do something kind for another, that you will put that on your list of things to do before this day is out. And that could mean make a phone call, you know, text a friend. You know what to do. Mm-hmm. We want to promote kindness. It shouldn't be just one day, but every day. I think it's important. And then, you know, I always have to say, you got some stairs in your house that you can master. Yes, you have a stair master. Get your stair climbing in today, two or three steps down, up and down and up and down and up and down for about 20 minutes, a half an hour. It's good for your heart. It's good for your health. Put your favorite music on. Do your thing. It's going to be great. And we really want to encourage you to prioritize your health, because your health matters to us. We've got two, as I said, fantastic guests with us today. We've got a Mr., I would say Stan, the man, Martin. Stan the man, Martin, he is the director and senior trainer for Hope Buffalo, which is a local initiative, but he is up and down the state of New York, because he also works as a team member of the Chickatelli Associates work that's nationwide, international, in fact. And so we're glad that he's with us today. And with him is Ms. Maisha Drayton. And she's a newer friend, but a friend nonetheless. And she's the director of community and stakeholder engagement to promote health equity.
With CAI.
With CAI, with Chickatelli and Associates. And we're glad she's here with us today, because health is so important. And the way that we come at it, you know, like this room right here, we come at it from multiple different areas. We really are focused, as you all know, that I'm all about social determinants, and we are really, you know, galvanizing around that as a point of entry into to health, because it's not just going to the doctor that's going to make you healthy. It's all the things that you do on a daily basis, all the things that you interact with every day. And today we're really going to focus on dealing with our youth and how we connect with our youth around health and around empowering them about their health. And so with that, I want to just, you know, both Maisha and Stan have been on the show before, but I do want to remind the listening audience about who they are. So if you would take a moment just to share with the audience your background.
Great, great.
And how much you love Buffalo. No crying or anything about no sports or nothing.
No, that's behind us. Yesterday is behind us. We have today, and we look forward to tomorrow. So, thank you, Rita. I really appreciate, you know, being here. Thank you for the opportunity. It always gives me great pleasure to come back home. I'm born and raised here in Buffalo. I'm a Buffalo native. No matter what, I'm a true diehard Buffalo Bills fan. Graduated from Seneca High School, and, you know, been very fortunate to be in a career that allows me to give back. When you talk about acts of kindness, you know, to be a blessing to someone else. So I'm very fortunate to be able to come back home to the place where I still have family and friends, and I love so much and so dear to my heart. So it gives me great pleasure to be here today. So thank you.
I'm glad to have you. And Miss Maisha.
Well, I'm not a person born and raised in Buffalo, but I've been here almost two decades. So I've raised a family here, though. And I agree with Stan. It's been a blessing to be able to work in the community that I love and love. And it's been really exciting to be able to help bring resources and capacity building or training and information to the community, and then having the community drive the work. Mm-hmm. And so I like and would stand to be on the sidelines just waving my arms and cheering and saying, well, what about this or what about that? So not even the coach, but just like a consultant, like maybe you should do this, but really being part of the work that our community says is important and that is necessary and that they want to be a part of. So that's my biggest takeaway from this work.
And you both come here having brought a project called Hope Buffalo. HOPE, which is an acronym. I'll let you share what that means. And, you know, we do need hope in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of despair, but this is really something important for us to recognize and understand that we have here. And why don't you just share with us what it is, mm-hmm. Hope Buffalo, and what its mission is.
Great. I think that's a great segue, a great question as well. Hope Buffalo is actually a project of CAI. You know, our overall mission is to utilize, you know, knowledge, information, and research to make a more aware, compassionate, healthy world. And within that mission, you know, to also address equity or the inequities that exist amongst our most vulnerable populations, you know, our most vulnerable communities, and in particular, you know, our youth. So as you mentioned, you know, HOPE is an acronym. You know, it's actually, as Maisha said, you know, this is a community-driven collaborative. And when we, you know, met with the community members, including youth, they said, you know what? We need hope. We need some hope in terms of our health, in terms of, you know, having opportunity to resources, education, employment. We need to also, you know, look at what are the conditions in terms of some of the, you know, trauma, you know, some of the, you know, violence that's in our community. We could prevent that before it happens. Why wouldn't we? And provide some resources in that regard. And last but not least, you know, the engagement, the power, and the equity piece is so important. So, you know, Hope Buffalo, you know, is from the community, is by the community.
Yeah, so hope is health, opportunity.
Prevention. And then education. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And that, if you spell that out, and if you spell out what each letter means, mm-hmm. and that does equal hope,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you have health, if you have opportunity, if you engage in prevention, mm-hmm. and are open to learning and education,
mm-hmm.
that equals hope.
Yes.
Right? So I'm a big fan of Hope Buffalo. I am involved. I have been involved. And I think it's really, really important. Now, do we need to drill down more on the mission specifically of for Hope Buffalo?
Absolutely. We certainly can. It's broad. You know,
yeah,
we have
a, right.
It's definitely in that regard. And also specific. You know, we want to address, you know, personal and adolescent health. You know, in particular, you know, when we look at those who are most vulnerable, those who have the least amount of resources, to some extent, you know, we oftentimes don't really go to, you know, our young people. And when you look at our young people are the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, or I think there's a phrase that say, you know, you want to, you know, take the bone. Check the pulse of the community. Talk to the children.
Right.
Look at the youth.
What are there's an African proverb.
It's an African proverb. Yeah.
An African saying. It says, mm-hmm. it goes, how are you? And the answer is, our children are well.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the children are will be an indicator of the way the village is.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if our children are not doing well, then that's an indicator that we're not doing well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, when we look at our mission, you know, we want to be holistic. You know, we want to look at going back to health again. We'll mm-hmm. also look at, you know, what's the environment, you know, look like. When we first started this collaborative, you know, in partnership with the community, we were primarily focusing on teen pregnancy prevention. You know, when we look at some of the stats, you know, our selected areas, you know, they were twice and three times that, you know, of the state and national level. However, as we start to, you know, have more conversations, we realize that, you know, through our conversations that, you know, what are some of the root causes?
Right.
You know, of some of the conditions in which people live,
that's
work,
right.
and play.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission expanded, became broader, and we think it's as of today, is more comprehensive. You know, and we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, as we move forward.
What are some of the factors that impact teens' personal health in Buffalo, Maisha?
Well,
I mean, I know you work with kids all the time, and you have a couple at home.
Yeah, I have just one at home now. The other one moved out. He's
not a kid anymore.
Yeah, yeah, he moved out.
Man.
He's an old man, 19. He's an old man. But there are so many things, and that is – right there is the crest of what we talk about, because everyone's looking for that silver bullet. Like, hey, if kids had this, then there wouldn't be any more pregnancy. If kids did this, if parents did this, then this wouldn't happen. And we know life is not that simple. We know there's so many nuances that affect.
No silver bullets?
None.
No magic wand?
I wish there was. We'd already have it. Sorry about that. But and that's the issue. And that's why Hope Buffalo is so important, because we understand that nothing happens in a silo. Nothing happens and there's no reaction. That we are not just the sum of our decisions. decisions, that there are other factors that happen that cause us to make decisions, and what are those? And then really talking to the community. So as far as young people, I mean, we hear things of like, some adults don't listen to us. Mm. And if you hear that, you may not go directly to teen pregnancy, you know, or you know, obesity or drug use, you know, or inactivity. But those kind of things affect the way, as I said, young people make decisions, how they get information. So if an adult's not listening to me, well, let me talk to someone over here, or let me look over here to get information. Right. All these little things are a factor. We know that poverty, and I mean,
that's
the,
what I was gonna
the
say.
Big P, which everything, I mean, if poverty was an acronym, it would include everything. You know what I mean? So when people, and young people particularly, who are vulnerable, when they live in poverty, things happen or do not happen because of that. And it's not just because they're born poor. It's because there are systems in place to make and keep them poor. Mm-hmm. So this is the type of things that we try to address. We're not going to end poverty with Hope Buffalo, but when communities come together and they check their own pulse, mm-hmm. and they have the tools and education. Doctors always say, we are our first physicians.
Right, that's right.
So if we have any issues in the community, we feel it first.
Right.
And then we hear the thing, oh, if the nation has a cold, we got the flu. Well, we feel the first cough, the first tickle.
Right.
And we should be able to have autonomy to say, this tickle is causing cough, and I don't want it to go to full walking pneumonia.
That's
and
right.
I know what I need, and I need the resource to make it happen.
And that's why I think education is so important.
Yes.
Knowledge, information is so important. And I hope and pray that this show really helps in that regard. Because mm-hmm. if you don't know, then you don't know what to do.
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you just don't have any information, any basic information, then you don't have the basic tools to making a change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So our children are struggling, and they're struggling in a number of different ways. Poverty has to do mm-hmm. with even our academic institutions.
Yes.
Are part of it. Resources and, you know, outlets and all of these things that other communities have that our community really doesn't have. And it sets itself up for generational poverty.
Yes.
And generational social ills.
Right.
And, you know, we always want to say that our children, and when a children comes in the world, that that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for our community, it makes things more, it has made things
right.
more complicated when things are not done in a planful manner.
Right.
So, it just continues in any traumatic things that should not be traumatic become traumatic when it's the underlying issues are poverty
mm-hmm.
and stress
mm-hmm.
and strain. And so, you know, knowledge is empowering, and what we can do on the show to make people aware, I think really, really are important.
Yeah, I was just going to say this is a great conversation in terms of what people can do. I think that when you look at the work that Hope Buffalo has done and continue to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're looking at in terms of implementing evidence-based programs, you know,
mm-hmm.
interventions that have proven to work or that has proven to be successful. And also we've also invested resources in terms of making opportunities available for promising interventions or
mm-hmm.
innovative interventions. Not every intervention is going to work for everyone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be open, you know, to be versatile, to be flexible in that regard.
And
so
culturally
that you're
sensitive.
And culturally sensitive,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Language is important.
Truly, truly, to meet people where they are.
That's right.
And
you
have
know.
Cultural humility when
right.
you come
yeah.
in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
And that's one of the things that that's been my favorite part of Hope Buffalo are the promising programming that you've been able to lift, if you mm-hmm. will, things that are going on in the community that without a little seed money would not necessarily be able to be what they are now
mm-hmm.
and where they're going. So I love, it's great, evidence base is great because it's happened
right.
elsewhere, and we have a at least some sense of belief that
right.
it will happen here.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to say we've got talented, creative, you know, people who
that's
know
right.
their communities
right.
and who have a relationship with members of their community that can make a difference, I think it's also important too. So
very.
I really want to applaud Hope Buffalo and its initiative around supporting. And I would say also mm-hmm. that a lot of the people that are coming up with these promising ideas are younger people.
Yes.
Yes.
And that is exciting.
Yes.
That,
very
you know,
exciting.
Those who are 20s and 30s and 40s mm-hmm. are coming up with solutions
mm-hmm.
for their community, which again brings that idea of hope, health, opportunity, prevention, and education.
Yes.
Thank you for including me in the young people.
You're welcome.
In the 40s, just made it in.
That says just a little bit about me, because I don't hear that often.
And you know, Rita, you raised another point. Not everyone is in a school setting. Not right. everyone, you know, is at a traditional, let's say, youth serving organization. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, there are, quote unquote, unfortunately, you know, some people slip through the cracks right. or what have you, right. and or been faced with other adversities. So we've been able, through our innovative mini grants, to provide over $13,000 back into the community, you know, to organizations, youth-serving organizations that are like the Buffalo Urban League. Actually, they had a youth group who just came to New York City last week as a part of their college tour to mm-hmm. expose them to the experience of what it might be like to continue their post-secondary education at a HBCU institution. In addition to that, you know, there's another organization, Every Bottom Covered, that are working with pregnant and parenting moms, teens, families to provide diapers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people like say, well, why diapers? You know, mm-hmm. those are the basic needs that mm-hmm. our families, you know, that our families today, our young people today are dealing with.
And an opportunity to engage.
Yes.
Right.
So what a diaper can do is open a door.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, so being able to, you know, provide, you know, sort of the fish.
Right.
Here's your fish, mm-hmm. but now let me teach you how to fish.
Exactly.
But right now I need some fish.
Exactly.
I need a diaper.
Right,
today.
Right.
I mean, you meet a need, and then you are able to open the door and have the conversation and to educate and,
exactly.
and share information about health and other things. So
Absolutely.
Rita, can I add one more about one of the many innovations we're on it? One of the things I also want to say is because the college tour is awesome because we all know that, you know, that's our traditional way. Like, let's get our kids in college. And for those, like we said, that Every Bottom Covered, one of the things that I really was impressed by is the advocacy group at Compass House. And so that is a Compass House, if you don't know, is our only adolescent runaway shelter, not for runaway or homeless teens, really homeless teens, excuse me. And it's the only one here. And there now we've supplied money, seed money, and supplies and materials for a group that the young people there started of advocacy. A group that they can go and be political about what's happening to young people who are homeless mm-hmm. and what kind of services are needed or what and what mm-hmm. kind of things could happen so that other people, young people, don't end up homeless. So for young people who are, and we would think like, oh, they're on their last leg living in a shelter, to come together and say we want to organize and advocate for young people like us, that is amazing.
Yes.
And if you talk to anyone who's in charge of anything, mm-hmm. they usually come from a struggle and says, mm-hmm. I was homeless. And so just think that the young people that they're being helped right now, that they are amongst themselves planning to be those type of people. And so for us just to be able to apply some money to that, I was just blown away by it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and you think $13,000, what could $13,000
exactly.
do? Well, it's very interesting how these few dollars can leverage you really innovation in a way that
yes.
you could not even imagine. When you just ask the question, what would you do with $500 or $1,000?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What can you do? And so this really very
they flipped
powerful.
It. Yeah. They flipped the young people when they said they flipped it.
They flipped it.
Yeah, they used that money.
And I remember what I could do with 25 cents back in the day. I mean, you know, I remember those, you know, boxes of spaghetti and a little small can of tomato sauce and what I could do with that. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, if you could just share a little bit about your strategy, more aspects of your strategy besides the innovation and how you're engaging adults, youth, and mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. professionals in this work.
Yeah, as we mentioned, we've already talked about the, you know, the evidence-based interventions mm-hmm. and the promising interventions. But also one of the things that is very important to reach out to professionals. When we're talking about professionals, we're really reaching out across the aisle to our community-based organizations to be involved, which many of them have done great work. And also they continue to do great work. And as Maisha mentioned earlier, so that we're not operating in a silo or being territorial, mm-hmm. you know, how can we work more comprehensively? You know, mm-hmm. together, you know, to provide mm-hmm. wraparound services so that, quote unquote, no wrong door, no missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we're specifically working with healthcare providers. We've our youth in particular, they conducted a survey called the Mystery Shoppers, where though they made telephone calls and they wanted to really see, are these clinics or healthcare providers, you know, youth affirming? Are they youth friendly? How am I treated, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of over the phone and in person? And some of the results is quite shocking, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, you know, you would think that someone in a position, you know, to provide health and services that, you know, that the experience would be, you know,
positive,
positive,
right?
You know, and you know, for our youth and for the community, it was eye awakening and said, you know, we still have work to do.
Yes.
So therefore, one of the things we're working, you know, closely with healthcare providers to look at how can they change, you know, their environment, how can they change their even the settings or the waiting room, you know, what does that say? What does that, you know? And is it inviting? You know, how am I treated? You know, what are my rights?
Well, we do.
A teenager.
Yeah, and we do know. I mean, there are health disparities, and we know there are health care disparities. And what does that look like? And so often we talk about it along the lines of people of color, African Americans, and Latinos, and Native Americans. We usually look at the issue of health disparity in that way, but here we are looking at it as a result of youth,
right?
And the disparities around healthcare in youth. And so, there, you know, Kaiser Permanente and other hospitals organizations have done a number of different studies around this, trying to figure out why certain groups do not get the proper experience and why people don't go back even to a doctor's office. And so drilling down and understanding what's happening in primary care and what's happening in gynecological and obstetric services is another important piece. Why is it that our children are not getting proper preventative health care?
Right.
Why is it that they don't know and understand? I mean, if their parents aren't giving them information, but they are going to a pediatrician and they are an adolescent, there are some things that should be asked. And given even some of the social backdrop, the news and so on that we're hearing, you know, about a 14-year-old girl having an experience, who can you tell? Can you tell your doctor? You know, are you going to be believed? Who are the people, who are the adults, who are the caring adults in your life? And so your doctor's office should be a place where you can go to have an experience with a caring professional that will give you good, sound advice.
Right.
So I think that that Mystery Shoppers project is enormous and hopefully will, you know, change the thinking by our professionals and how they relate to youth, not just youth, but youth for sure.
Right, definitely.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, some of the other things we're doing. We're also reaching out to parents, you know, parents to provide, you know, trainings in terms of so that a child or a youth or adolescent, they can have the conversation, providing parents, you know, through our parent trainings, through a program that we're implementing called Raising Healthy Children, that parents, they're able to get skills in terms of how to have the conversation, you know, with their child surrounding, you know, their personal health or being sexually active or delaying, because we do, you know, promote that as well. But, you know, sometimes people don't have the skills. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the information.
They didn't get it. Right. How do you expect somebody who's never cooked before to just throw some pots and pans at them and say, okay, cook? You know, it's going to be a mess.
It's going to be a mess.
And provide other, you know, caring adults with those tools. So, last but not least, I would just say that, you know, just in terms of our strategy, we have a social media marketing strategy for folks who might not have been a part or seen our website. You can go to www.hopebuffalo.org. The website and the branding and the themes that you will see there was developed by the youth, by the community. We work very closely with a local firm called Block Club, you know, who's done a fabulous job in terms of, you know, building awareness and getting, you know, our information, our brand out there in the community. So there's opportunities there for folks who want to get involved. They can take the pledge for healthy teens, whether that's, you know, attending a community action team meeting or, you know, being providing advocacy or education information, you know, surrounding Hope Buffalo and other activities that are taking place that are pertinent to the community. So different levels of involvement we like to say that people can participate in.
Now, I know, you know, there's a sustainability issue, and one of the things that you've done is gone out for other funding. And Maisha, actually, her new job title is a little lengthy, but it has a lot to do with some of these initiatives to sustain this work. There is a new project called CARS. I know you'll tell me what, what that's all about. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to get you an opportunity to talk a little bit about CARS before.
All right, I'll hit it really fast. So CARS, it stands for Community Approaches to Reducing STDs. And what this is I always say it's our raising and opening up our arms a little larger around our youth. So we talk about, you know, teen pregnancy and all the different things. And now we're also talking about sexually transmitted infections. And what this is, it's directly funded from the CDC, and it's another community-led initiative. It's when we're going to come to the community, to young people 18 to 24, and we're going to do a needs assessment on the community when it comes to this sexually transmitted infections. They are going to be part of the community needs assessment. They're going to be pulling some data, doing some interviews and talking to people. And then at the end of it, after putting all this information together, and we're going to be training them, they get paid. Mm-hmm. It's important that young people are paid for their expertise. Mm-hmm. And they're going to design their own intervention that hopefully we know it will, because it's coming straight from them, lead to people getting tested for STIs.
Two things. One is, if somebody is interested in listening right now, wants to be a part of this, maybe our teen or maybe mm-hmm. a parent of a teen, do you have a number where they can call for to be involved?
Yes, they can call this number at 716-566-2329, which is my number. But they also can go online. We have a website set up to apply, and that is caiglobal.org/CARS. So it's our CAI website. So if you want to just Google CAI or Chickatelli, and then on our page is a CARS website.
So that's two ways to connect mm-hmm. to learn more about these opportunities. One is by calling Myesha at 566-2329. Mm-hmm. That's 716-566-2329. Or you could check out at the website CAI Global, spelled out, .org/CARS.
CARS. C-A-R-S.
Like you get in your car.
We're going to drive.
We're going to drive several of them. So that's why it's CARS.
Yes.
So you can get online and apply to get involved. And then the other thing that I wanted to put out there for the listening audience is that there's a lot going on that impacts the health of our children, and therefore the health of adults. And we know that if we don't do something different, that our children will not outlive us. Mm-hmm. So I really want to encourage people to talk to their children, do more listening than talking, and we want to really champion the kind of work that you guys are doing. Do you have any final statements that you'd like to make around this? We've got about a minute each.
Okay. I just want people to really look into and listen for the CARS initiative through Hope Buffalo, because we really want to have some young people here from all across the board. We're looking for African-American young people and those who identify as LGBTQI, so queer youth and Black youth, 18 to 24, so that they can really come and put together a great intervention or event that the city will love to see.
Yeah, and we want to say queer youth and straight youth, because
yep, right.
STDs are moving so rapidly, and girls are a big part of that. And so we really want to encourage anyone that knows that their children are, if they are mm-hmm. engaged in sexual behavior,
yes.
we want them to, and if even if you're not, but you have a voice and you want to be heard,
that voice.
This is an opportunity, 18 to 24,
yes.
At 716-566-2329. And Stan, your final words.
No, I would just like to say that, this the CARS initiative is an extension of Hope Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It's representative of our commitment, CAI, commitment to the community. And, we're really excited about it. And we hope that, people give us a call and that they get involved. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This number again is 716-566-2329. That's 716-566-2329 or caiglobal.org/CARS. And we want to thank so much Myesha Drayton and Stan Martin for being our guests today. This is Rita Hubbard Robinson. Also, I think you guys are featured in the Healthy Buffalo magazine.
Yes, yes.
And we want you to check out your Healthy Buffalo magazine. It's located all over Western New York. Pick it up and check them out some more, or check out their website. This is Rita Hubbard Robinson, Millennium Health Matters Radio Show, where your health matters to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.